I know what's going on, okay? It's all good. I'm telling you what. Hallelujah. Everybody just chill. God's in control. Amen. Hallelujah. Church is to be a sanctuary, right, for those in need. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray and you can give this morning. Y'all got a happy face on, right? Let me read you something here before Bernie takes up the offering. I usually don't spend any time on the offering, and that could be good or bad. I've prayed through the week for our offerings, and I don't normally say a whole lot about it, but Bernie was talking about the promises of God this morning and how God stands over his word and guards his word. And in Malachi chapter 3, it says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me." You know, if you think about it, it'd be pretty hard to rob God, seeing as how he never slumbers or sleeps, and his eyes go to and fro throughout the earth, you know. "Well, man robbed God, yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation." Now look what God says. After God has admonished the people, he's wounded them. Now he's going to pour some oil in, some medicine. He says, "Bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts." Now, for us, right off the top of that reading, it doesn't resonate to you. But you're talking about an agricultural society, one that's very dependent upon rain for their produce. And so God says, "I'm going to open up the windows of heaven." God's talking about rain. I'm gonna give you the rain, okay? Why would God want to give this agricultural nation the rain? In order that their crops may grow, in order that they might be blessed, amen? How many know without rain, farmers can't grow anything, therefore there can't be a blessing, amen? When God says, "I'll rebuke the devourer," he's talking about the locusts that eat all the produce. Amen? But now, how do we bring that into our day? Well, it's really pretty simple. The command is to bring all the tithe and offerings into the storehouse. The storehouse is where you're fed. That's your local church. Amen? So you bring your tithe into the storehouse. God says he'll open up the window and he will bless you. Amen. He will feed you spiritually. Somebody say amen or oh me. All right. And then God says, I like this one. He says, "I will rebuke the devourer for your sake." I will honestly tell you, before I started tithing, and I have heard about tithing since I was that tall, I knew what it meant. Okay. Like I said, growing up Nazarene, you knew about tithing. You knew it was... You knew you had a rotten flesh. Don't be blaming nobody else for it. Get that thing sanctified holy, all right? So you learn those two things. But I can honestly tell you that anytime I've tried to borrow the tithe, and the Bible does say you can borrow your tithe, but you got to add 20% to it when you bring it in. That's not a real good interest rate, okay? That ranks right up there with some of them credit cards, 20%. The idea is don't be taking your tithe, okay? But I can honestly tell you that in those times in my adult life that I didn't tithe, it just seemed like there was a devourer out there. There was always, I never had enough to pay everything. This one got a little piece, and that one needed a little piece, and that one needed, and you're like, I remember one year I worked all the overtime I could work, and you know what? I never had any more. You know, it just got ate up. All the government didn't get near as much as you might think. I had four kids back in, so, you know. But I didn't have any more because I wasn't faithful in my tithing. Amen? So I just told you that just so I could say I did once a year, okay? If you're a tither, say, I didn't need to hear that. Well, just, you know, you change the oil in your car, right? So we just gave you a tune-up today. We changed the oil. That's all we did, all right? Whoa, Pastor mentioned something about tithing. The church must be going under. No, no, we got over 10 grand in the bank. We're not going under, okay? We're good. Church is size, having $10,000 in the bank, that's quite a feat, okay? So, you know, don't, probably shouldn't have told you that because now you say, well, I can hold back a little bit. Don't want to be holding back. We still got a church in the DR to get the concrete floors, to get the electric, and get the windows and the fence all built. So don't be holding back. We're still trying to help them get that done. Amen? All right, let's pray and you can give. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. And, Father, I just thank you that when we place this seed in the hand of a mighty, awesome God, you'll multiply it, you'll use it to expand your kingdom, and you'll cause a harvest back to the sower. For that, we give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. I'll preach really fast this morning. Try to get you out of here a little earlier than normal because we're coming back at 6 for Yom Terah. And we'll finish this message. You have been fasting for 30 days. Today. Tonight, Yom Terah, some people call it Rosh Hashanah. Yom Terah is the blowing of the trumpets. And it announces the 10 days of awe. In other words, you got 10 days to get your heart right, because in 10 days, the high priest is going into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle the blood of bulls and goats for the remission of your sins. Amen? So let me write this on the board so you can see it. Okay? We are in a season called Teshuvah. Right? And Teshuvah means repentance. And this Teshuvah comes from this root word, shuv, which means to return or restore. Okay, now, and there's one ingredient that we need above anything else. Because if we don't have this one ingredient, you ladies ever bake something and it didn't rise? Because you forgot something, right? Well, there's one thing we need for Teshuvah to be important in our lives. Anybody know what that is? What?
I didn't hear it.
The blood? You're on the right track. We need a God that forgives. Amen? If we don't serve a God that forgives, then we can repent till the cows come home. Right? You know what I'm saying when I say that? Okay? That's an idiom for it ain't going to happen. All right? But if we don't have a God, Elkanun, the God who forgets and forgives, that's his Hebrew name. So this morning, I want to remind you a little bit of that. Okay, Hebrews chapter 8, page 1738, if you got a Bible like mine, glory to God. Verse 12 says, I was going to read the whole passage, but we'll hold off, because I'm going to read the whole passage of several other ones. God's talking about when he made a covenant with the house of Israel at Sinai. And verse 12 says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. See, the reason repentance works for us is because we serve a God who is merciful. Amen? It's because God is love. Therefore, inherent in God, he is merciful. He is compassionate. He's not like Allah. Allah shows mercy, maybe. Okay? And the mercy that Allah shows is from a king to a peasant. Might let you off, maybe. But the God we serve, Yahweh, inherently, he is love. He is mercy. He is gracious. That's who he is. But he is also holy, and he is also just. So he will eventually have to judge sin. And he judged the world's sins at Calvary through his son Jesus. Amen? All right. Just want to make sure you had that part. Go with me to 1 Timothy. Just go to your left there a little bit out of Hebrews. 1 Timothy chapter 1. First Timothy chapter 1 verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Messiah Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus, the Messiah, might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Hallelujah. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, Paul said. Paul writing to Timothy. That was his mission. Part of his mission was to pay the penalty for sin. Amen? In order that you might be reconciled back to the Father. Now, let's look at one other scripture. Go to Micah chapter 7. Micah chapter 7. That's page 1211 if you got a Bible like mine. Page 1211. Micah. Habakkuk, Nahum, Micah. Chapter 7. Look at verse 8. He says, "Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. I will bear the indignation of Yahweh, because I have sinned against him, until he pleads my case and executes justice for me. He will bring me forth to the light. I will see his righteousness. Then she who is my enemy will see, and shame will cover her, who said to me, 'Where is the Lord your God?' My eyes will see her. Now she will be trampled down like mud in the streets." Notice the question: where is the Lord your God? You know, I imagine, you know, Bernie was talking about Abraham having to wait 100 years to conceive that child. I imagine there were some people in Abraham's life that might have said, "Hey, where's your God now? Where's the promise now?" See, there's always going to be somebody wanting to throw a little doubt and unbelief in the mix. Amen? Whether it's family members or just friends who just can't help themselves. I'm going to get off of that. That ain't really where I want to go. Let's jump over here real quick now to verse 14. "Shepherd your people with your staff, the flock of your heritage who dwells solitarily in the woodland in the midst of Carmel, let them feed in Bashan and Gilead as in days of old, As in the days when you came out of the land of Egypt, I will show them wonders. The nations shall see and be ashamed of all their might. They shall put their hand over their mouth. Their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall crawl from their holes like snakes of the earth. They shall be afraid of the Lord our God and shall fear because of you. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity, passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever because, now watch, because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will give truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham, which you have sworn to our fathers from days of old. Somebody missed a really good chance to say amen. Thank you. Thank you. A little late, you know, that ain't bad. We'll take it. Now, we're in this time of Teshuvah. This is the 30th day. Start the 10 days of all tonight, sundown. We're going to start our service at 6, okay? So, the God we serve is a God who forgives. Now, God has instructed us. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 8 that we are to be fashioned, formed into the image of Jesus. Okay? Jesus, being nailed to the cross, said this: Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Are you as quick to forgive as quick as you want forgiveness? Are you that quick to offer forgiveness to someone else? Turn with me to Matthew real quick. Say amen or oh me, but turn with me to Matthew 18. I'm not going to keep you very long this morning. That's a promise. Matthew 18, verse 21. Then Peter came to him, page 1324. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? I mean, Peter's thinking, hey, I got to forgive. Well, you know, 7 times is a lot, Lord. And you know, right now, if we had somebody that was wronging us and we forgive them 7 times, after the 3rd time, we'd probably say, that's it. Maybe the 2nd time. Peter's like, Lord, how many times should I forgive? 7 times? And look what Jesus said. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. You know, in Hebrew, numbers don't actually mean like 1,000. May not mean 1,000. It could just mean a whole lot. Okay, a vast number. So I think Jesus is telling Peter, 7 times 70, well, we all know that's 490. I think he's just telling Peter, you just got to keep forgiving. You got to keep walking in forgiveness. Now watch what he says. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven. Now he's telling a parable. He's telling a parable about the kingdom of heaven. Amen? You live in Ironton, in Lawrence County, Ohio. But if you're blood-bought born again, you are a resident of the kingdom of heaven. Amen? Any place that the Holy Spirit and the Word of God are leading a people, those people are part of the kingdom of heaven. So if you qualify for that, then this parable is for you. Because it's about people who are part of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Amen? So it's important when you see kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God and there's a parable afterwards, that's for you. Okay? Verse 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So now watch. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. That's a heavy revenue. Jump over with me to Matthew 6. If my notes are right, look at verse 14. Oh, we'll start in verse 9. The disciples have asked Jesus, teach us to pray. So Jesus instructs him, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, I'm going to submit something to you. If you're part of the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, as I read this, now you correct me if I'm wrong, as I read this, forgiveness for a member of the kingdom of heaven is not optional. It's required. Am I reading that right? It's required. So why do Christians go around holding grudges? Why do we walk in unforgiveness? If our own salvation might be at stake. Huh? I know people wrong us, and I know especially, you know, in the workplace, and you know, I have to supervise truck drivers, and in our business, I don't want to admit this to you because I don't want you to think bad of me, but I'm the heavy, okay? I'm the one that has to lean on them, all right? It's not in some of my other family members' DNA. All right? Although there's a couple of them that if you push them farther, you know, you'll get it. All right? I don't like that because I'm mercy motivated. I you know, I am a Christian. I want to forgive, you know, and I forgive a lot, but it reaches a point sometimes when you just have to cut ties. Okay? Well, no, listen to it. No, you're not listening. No, there comes a time when you just say, you know what? It's not working out here for you. We're not a good fit. I love you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to believe God will bless you. But it's not a really good fit here. I'm not mad. Okay? I'm not mad. And you have to do the same thing with people you work with. Can't be mad at them all the time. But some people you're just not going to be able to hang out with. Okay? But doesn't mean you have to hold a grudge and be mean. Huh? Amen? All right. I'm just trying to clear that up. Jump with me, if you will, real quick, over to Mark. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. We'll be closing here short. Mark chapter 11. I don't have the page number for that one. Mark chapter 11. Verse 25. Now watch this. 25. Jesus said, got red letters here. Mark 11, verse 25. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you trespasses. You know, we live in a society, and we have such, what, how would you describe it? We live in a political world that is so unhinged right now. You could be mad 24/7 if you allowed yourself to be. Okay. They are mad. They are mad. Okay. However, we're talking about us. We don't have to be mad. Because no matter what, we can go pray to God. We trust God. We don't trust a donkey or an elephant. We're trusting God. Amen. And we trust his word. Doesn't mean we don't vote. We vote. We pray, we vote. Amen. We stand up for what is right. But at the end of the day, we're not name calling, and we're not holding grudges. Amen. There's a group of people that need Jesus. See, we have this thing in America. I'm working on a class, and so I went to the Ohio University Library at Athens yesterday, liberal college campus. However, they got a huge database, and I got to have 25 sources for this class, okay? So I went over there, and I had my Oily Pig barbecue shirt on. And I said, self, you ought not wear that Oily Pig barbecue shirt on there. Now, I could have took the attitude, I don't care. I'll wear my Oily Pig on there. I don't care if I offend a Muslim, you know. But really, would that have been the right attitude? No. So I took my oil. I had another shirt. I took my Oily Pig barbecue shirt off and put another one on, you know. And after I did all that, the library was closed. So I have to go over there tomorrow morning. So anyway, yeah, give him another chance. Nah, you know, Jesus said, don't be offending. Don't be offensive, okay? Now, he's talking about your brothers too, all right? Because that's really where I'm going. I'm going to finish this sermon tonight, because I want to talk about forgiveness and the church. Amen? It's a vital part of building a habitat for God. Amen? And that's what we're here for. We are trying to build one stone upon another, a holy sanctuary for a living God. We have said for a long time, if people say anything about Church of the King, we want them to say, the presence of God is in the house. I got one other scripture. Turn to page 1753, the book of James. James, good old Pastor James. Chapter 2, page 1753. Hallelujah. We're going to read this whole passage here. Verse 1. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and say to the poor man, you stand there or sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Ouch. Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment, now watch, judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith? Oh, no, let's skip that. Jump down to, we're going over to, where you go. Now, I read that. Now I want you to go over here. No, that's good. We're going to stop right there. I don't want to go any farther. Verse 13, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Amen. I believe with all my heart that God's mercy always, always, always precedes his judgment. Amen. Aren't you glad? Amen. So, basically, all I said to you today was this. You're in a season of teshuvah. Tonight, the trumpet will sound, and it will bring in the 10 days of awe. And the only reason repentance is important in our lives is because we serve a God who forgives. And the same God who forgives us commands us to forgive others. Amen? Somebody say amen or oh me. Is it easy? No. Was it easy for Jesus? No. No, it wasn't easy. Nobody said it would be easy. If anybody told you that once you donned the robes of Christianity, it all come up roses, they lied. Okay? It's not easy. But I can tell you this, it's a whole lot better with God than it is trying to live in this world without him. Amen? Glory to God. God is so good. We'll be back here at 6. I told you I'd let you out early. We'll be back here at 6 o'clock. We're going to praise and worship the King of Kings. We're going to talk about repentance in the church. And then we'll go home. Amen? But we want to honor God on all the feast days. You are to have a holy convocation or a holy assembly. A holy assembly is an assembly set apart for God. And tonight we're having a special service. It is set apart for the Feast of Yom Terah, the blowing of the trumpets. Amen? How many know one of these days the Lord's going to descend with a shout? Did you know Yom Terah is also called the Day of Shouting? And the Bible says that the trumpet will sound, the shofar is going to blow on the return of Jesus. Amen? I believe with all my heart that when he comes, he will come again on Yom Terah. Because he fulfilled all the spring feasts. Why would we think he wouldn't fulfill the fall feasts? Amen? Did I say Jesus come back tonight? No. Don't anybody go out there and quote me to a newspaper man. I just said it seems right that when he does return, he returns on Yom Terah. If he comes tonight on Yom Terah, I will welcome him. Amen? Hallelujah. Let me see. I need help. Bernie, you and Deb want to help me? Glory to God. God is good. All